This is Pure Decking, show number 446 for Thursday, August the 26th, 1920. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering if I'm the unreasonable one in the WebEx.
You may be the unreasonable one, but so long as you have pants, you're one of the more dressed ones.
Noted. I went for the Woodfords tonight. Medman, what'd you go for?
I went with Woodford's as well. I ran out of Four Roses, which was the other bourbon I had.
Ah.
I also have Bird Dog, but I don't really consider that bourbon, even if that's what's on the label. They were lying.
And Madman, what are you using to bolster this? Fucked up the intro. What are you using to bolster your system there?
I'm drinking the hard reality that is today.
Yeah.
Rusty tap water. What it feels like.
Yeah, hard reality. Looking through the story list, it's gonna be a nice and cheerful show, let me tell you.
There's a reason we drink, kids.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
The worst thing is, I at one point actually made an effort to try to find upbeat, happy stories for decking. I couldn't do it.
There's nothing there.
Well, not only.
OnlyFans is being reinstated. That just ruined my fucking week.
I knew that was going to happen when they said, "Oh yeah, our business model, we're not going with that anymore."
I mean, I guess if you're going to rebrand, if you had changed your name or something, it might have worked. But, yeah. But, no, I think it's my personality type. I just can't do it because I'll read it and go, fake. So I just
can't. Yeah, dude. Any good news is bullshit these days.
Yeah.
Or it's native ads.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
It just seems like the only decent, like, happy, upbeat stories are native ad.
Well, I at one point, I tried to make a point of finding those so I could point out, see, look, it's an ad. I tried that a few times, and it's just, that's depressing, too.
Low-hanging fruit, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, anyways.
Speaking of low-hanging fruit, today's show is sponsored by Rage Weirdwood.
Because they won't pay us to stop saying their name. Apparently, there were kids, like, doing YouTube videos and doing raid ads without actually being sponsored by them, just because that's what they thought you did on YouTube. So
yeah, there's it's a sad world.
Let's dig into this one. Some of this is going to be, you know, political spin, because anything touching this at the moment is going to be political spin.
Everything's political spin today.
It's from Wired. Afghans are racing to erase their online lives.
Oopsie doopsie.
Yeah, you know, they've had 20 years of internet access. How do you think the old Taliban's going to feel about that there? Every photo and every data point is a link to the old way, or is a link to the old way of life in Afghanistan and a reason for Taliban retribution. So, okay. Before we get into this, I'm coming at this from the point of this article is why you should exercise a little bit of, I guess jurisprudence would be the word, with what you post online.
You never know which political system is next.
Do I really think our country is going to be overthrown by extremists? No. But you never know what's suddenly going to become, you know, the next Scarlet Letter or Mark of the Beast, or pick your religious metaphor. And I'm going to butcher all of these names. So, in the article here, Munibula is a translator in his 30s who's been working with Western countries or Western companies and the U.S. Army in Kandahar City in South Afghanistan for several years. Scared for his life and worried about what his connections with the West might mean for his family, he fled Kandahar ahead of the Taliban arriving and leaving his wife and four children behind. He arrived in Kabul.
Like they do?
Yeah. He arrived in Kabul for only the second time in his life on July 13th. Dude, get your family out with you. If you know you're not coming back.
They don't care, dude.
That's kind of rough.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily always caring. If you're a fighting age dude and they have reason to suspect you're not one of them, you're dead. Women can live through this. They just might not have a happy life. They're given the option of... the term the Taliban uses, married. The term the rest of us would use is part of a sex slave hit.
See, I got in trouble for a month ago for the exact same thing you just said, Madman. I said women have the luxury to be able to voice any position they want because when it comes down to it, they just switch sides in the end. And I got in trouble for saying that.
Well, it's still the truth.
That's
about,
what I said. It's the truth.
Boko Haram, the whole taking their children. We talked about bring back the girls. No one really mentions that all the boys that were at that school were doused with gasoline and set on fire. We didn't have to get them back because they died a horrendous death. The reason the men are fleeing and not always bringing their family is they're getting out, and if they can't get their family, they know there's a chance their family will survive. But if you were a translator for one of the Allied forces and have been dubbed the enemy of the Taliban, you are not going to survive. And if they catch you with your family is not going to survive. So the best scenario they have is get their entire family out. That is their best scenario. But if they can't do that, the second best is for the dude to leave and just hope his family makes it. Because if he stays there or brings them with him and gets caught, they're all fucked.
Or just another, there's just a small mind blow here, man. They could pick up a gun and fight back. Right?
They could pick up a gun and fight back. But how organized are they? Because the Taliban's organized. You don't have to be a superior numerical troop if you're organized and the other guys aren't. So before the Afghan army fell, I would say fight back. But now, I can fight, but I can't beat 12 people.
Yeah, we can go down swinging.
Yeah, and I would like to think that I would go down swinging. But I'm not being tested.
Come on. Here we go again. Motherfucker. Yeah. Down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand?
I thought he was going to get to the chorus faster. People eat shit.
You're a fucking asshole, dude. Here I am fucking shutting shit down left, right, and center going, where's this sound coming from?
Dude, this is a good argument.
Fucking cunt. I have just torn apart my entire fucking setup for the day.
Sorry.
Wiping out.
I was trying to get to him just going people equals shit so I could play the line and then stop it.
God damn it. I'm going to go reopen and sign back in. Fuck.
So this is an argument for having your work profile and your personal profile separate.
Ultimately. So, okay, they go on and
store that.
Sorry, are you?
It's all good.
So, anyways, they go on detailing about, you know, Taliban took back over Afghanistan. Here we go. They're facing a. So, they go on talking about how. When a million in Afghanistan is now tussling with the impossible choice, to what extent should they erase any evidence of their past lives now that the Taliban are the new rulers of Afghanistan? The Taliban last ruled Afghanistan in 2001, and the 20 years since, more and more of our lives have been lived online. Now with the Taliban back in power, each digital breadcrumb could be a reason to be punished or killed. There are several different ways the Taliban could find out your information about you. Information stored locally on your device, your contacts, messages, cloud services you use, the data moving between those places, subject to interception. Those are the ones you can control. But then there are photos and videos that people have been caught up in, wittingly or unwittingly, that they can't control. Posed photographs showing educational projects on NGO websites and candid shots of life outside Taliban rule are all potentially evidence of transgressions. Worried about retribution, many Afghans are scrambling to erase all evidence of their past lives. And with good reason, because these are the kind of assholes who would look through all these photos and go, oh, that woman's wearing, not wearing enough clothing and you're standing next to her, off with your head. I
just like to offer my services to them. I'm not bad at going through stuff like that and identifying people.
Oh, God.
For the right amount of money, I've done fucking worse.
I mean...
Hey, there's a buck to be made in it, man.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Well, I'm sure you and IBM are lining right up. But I mean...
yeah, IBM gonna outstrip me, man.
You think about it, though. You think about, photos on Facebook, shit on your phone. And then you have these, I guess in Afghanistan, it's a little bit more likely that they were going to come back. But anywhere, you think about it, if suddenly the wrong people are in charge, think about what your Facebook or Instagram profile means. Imagine we put some really dictatorial Puritans, there we go, that's the word. I was going to say puritanical, but the word is Puritan. In charge here. What would immediately happen to how many people?
Don't even have to imagine that hard. The head of Mozilla, a former head, it's been a few years, he donated to the proposition in California when they were still having the gay marriage debate.
That's right. He donated to, quote unquote, the wrong side.
Yeah, and the side he donated to was the side that won in California.
And he still lost.
The majority of people in that state and in the country agreed with him. But because the right noisy people wouldn't shut up and his company decided it wasn't worth the fight, he lost his job. And there wasn't any evidence that he was ever bigoted in his employment practices. It's just he disagreed with them politically and lost his job.
Yeah.
And he agreed with the majority in the country at the time. He agreed with the president at the time.
So back to the article. The challenge is, how do you balance getting information, like what's going on at the airport and people trying to reach you, with eliminating any evidence that a group would use to implicate you in something and take you round back to make an example of you, says Welton Chang, Chief Technology Officer at Human Rights First, a U.S. NGO focused on maintaining human rights. It's not even a choice limited to Afghans. USAID, the United States humanitarian arm, purportedly sent an email over the weekend to partners asking them to go through their social media accounts and websites with a fine-tooth comb and remove any photos and information that could make individuals or groups vulnerable. USAID also advised partners still operating in Afghanistan to delete and wipe any personal identifying information of those they've worked with on the ground in case it fell into the wrong hands. It follows similar advice from the now-closed U.S. Embassy in Kabul, which emailed personnel to destroy sensitive material on the property, including paper and electronic documents. They've got a guide here on how to delete digital history and all that stuff. It's basically going through your social media accounts and deleting things and then just, deleting them off the device. But, other advice, taking pictures of physical documents, uploading them to the cloud to be retrieved if needed, and burning the evidence. That's always a fun one.
So I think it's really funny that these people think that the Taliban weren't combing through the internet before they took over.
That's a good point. That's a very
Just putting it out there, man. I'm pretty sure if these dudes are as organized as everyone's saying, they've already got lists of naughty and nice.
And you've also got to think of something. Average age of an Afghani, 25.
Yeah.
They're a very young nation. The majority of people living there right now were never alive the last time the Taliban were in charge.
Well, I also wonder, you know, the group is calling itself Taliban. How many of it are the same people?
Taliban's just the word we use for the organization that controls the Mujahideen.
Mm.
The Mujahideen are the fighting arm of the Taliban.
But I still wouldn't put it past them to have their lists and decide they're going to make examples, you know, because they've got their, I guess, belief is the term.
The Taliban's made up of, I think it's like 8 or 9 imams that control. They're essentially the warlords of the 9 provinces or whatever it is. Now, I'm not a scholar in any of this, so feel free to correct me. They a fighting group to keep control of all these areas were consolidated when they were fighting the Russians and were called the Mujahideen. They were the ones that Osama bin Laden and the Americans were helping. So it's still the same guys, but the fighters will be different.
Okay.
They'll probably be a lot stricter religiously because they are, as Madman said, a new group.
Well, I was just saying this because a lot of the people that were growing up there and posting this stuff online, they didn't know to be careful. I mean, they were told to be careful, but that's like us talking about what happened in World War I or World War II. We know of it, but we didn't experience it. So how careful are we going to be about these groups?
Well, that's a very fair point. And a little further down the article here, such fears are well justified. The Taliban has previously shown it's capable and willing to harvest the vast files of data we create every day to try to filter out people it believes are detrimental to its way of life, including official government databases. In 2016, Taliban insurgents killed 12 passengers on a bus they stopped after requiring everyone to scan their fingerprints on a biometric machine that cross-checked a database of security force workers, according to an Afghan army commander. Quote, most of the passengers were not familiar with the machine, but we knew it was a biometric device that could identify security force members from among civilians, unquote, the commander told Afghan news website Tolo News at the time. The Taliban are also believed to have previously used Facebook data to identify individuals with longstanding relationships with the U.S. military or NGOs. Quote, we've seen that, and supposedly Facebook is aware of this and trying to tamp down on suspicious views of profiles, unquote, said Chang. Similar technique to that deployed by ISIS in Iraq.
How do you clamp down on suspicious views?
You just block anything that, you know, where the IP address comes from Afghanistan.
So if the Taliban are using fingerprint and biometrics, they're not smart enough to use a VPN. Do you see how fucking retarded the news media have become now?
Yes. I mean, we've been saying that for years, but yes.
But to think that, they're using biometric scanning, but there's no way they'd have any clue about fucking, VPNs or anything.
They would never They'd never think to log out a Goats for Life, account before they go look at this.
Have you seen the level of skill in the propaganda videos these people have now?
Have you seen some of their memes?
Know if you... Yeah. Yeah, dude, the whole raising the flag thing to make fun of the American troops. That's pretty up there for good propaganda. And I know you don't while your nights away watching promotional videos from the Mujahideen, but I do. And they're getting pretty sophisticated. I mean, there are no ISIS videos. Like, those guys had it down pat. Then again, when you got CIA money to do your promotional videos, you generally get to knock out some good ones.
Yeah, that CIA money, you can definitely afford that subscription for the Adobe Creative Suite. I mean,
Oh, dude, the fucking ISIS early beheading videos, the production quality, and I'm not being a smartass here, the production quality for a bunch of, I won't say it, but that was a lot. It was good.
I just like their nice Chad meme. The whole, you're a sexist, racist, whatever. And then the other side, the Mujahideen guy with his harem, Habib, dinner's ready. Yes. Not that I'm pro any of this. I'm just saying they have some.
Dude, you're not pro Taliban. Like, fuck, you are not pro Taliban if you enjoy traditional lifestyle. I'm sick of this shit. Every time, well, you know, if you think that, you know, women be better off in the home place, you must be pro Taliban. Get fucked.
No, I'm sick of hearing that argument. Their meme was good because it was the meme put out by them.
That's what I'm saying. But people are going to say, well, Madman's pro Taliban now because he had a chuckle at a meme.
You can appreciate the media prowess without, you know, without encouraging what they're doing.
I'm not pro Taliban. I'm not pro-Taliban, but a group of people have decided they want to live a certain way and they're not taking shit from any other motherfucker from the outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why can't every country be as independent as that? I'm not saying enslave people and shit like that.
Oh, that was another
Americans should be able to live like Americans. You know, Chinese should be able to live like Chinese. It depends what the consensus of the population is at the time. And I'm telling you, might makes right, and that's why the Taliban are back in town.
I'm not going to go with might makes right. I can say might makes policy.
Well,
but it doesn't make right. Something is right and wrong independent of your opinion of it or your ability to enforce things.
The ability to wage violence allows you to say what's right and wrong, Madman.
So the reason
if you're more violent than the next man, you get to say that you were right.
The reason I wanted to talk about this was because I had also seen a couple of different articles, which I'm not going to link and not going to read, obviously, talking about different groups online doing their best to try to purge Afghan members from their sites, thinking that they're going to help protect them if the Taliban's, you know, looking for things. But I liked your point, are you? It's like you think they haven't already collected all that?
What do you mean? Everyone makes the joke that these are 6th century warriors. Yes, they are. They have the heart of 6. But they're with the 21st century when it comes to tech. I mean, they might eat dirt and fucking march all day, but damn, they're looking at some hotties on that phone of an evening. I'm telling you.
So, but again, you think about it. Like Madman was saying, a lot of that country was very young. They didn't really grow up under the Taliban. So think about all the stuff they might have posted online innocently that now might get them beheaded.
Well, let's just say 99% of most of what's been posted on the internet, they would claim as blasphemy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because let's face it, anything with those people is blasphemy.
Yeah, if you're not living exactly as they tell you to. And
exactly. They have a set of rules and they don't fuck around.
So,
funny, yeah, the crime rate doesn't seem to be that high when you live like that.
They also redefined what is a crime.
Oh, they live by a book.
Their rape rate can be high, but if it requires 5 witnesses...
Exactly, Madman.
Then,
the burden of proof.
So, the reason...
I see what Morps has done here. He's used the fucking disguise of technology to get us into an Afghanistan argument in Quagmire.
No,
just for his own amusement, Madman.
But no, I was trying to discuss the concept of thinking about what you fucking post online.
Yeah.
Not so much about, you know, your photos and stuff like that, because they're talking about people purging their devices. Because if your photos are on your phone and your phone's going to get your ass killed, crack it in half and throw it in the dumpster. Right.
Yeah, but if you've posted just meme after meme of bullshit or even said crazy things.
Yeah.
And I'm running at this from our point of view right now. Like, how many people have we seen in the media get pinged for wrong think that's 15 years old? You know?
Oh, I highly advocate if you maintain a social media account, clean it out every other year. Just go in there and delete it all.
Just don't.
That's a better advice, I mean.
Ditch your phone while you're at it. Take yourself off. Wean yourself off modern society. That's what I would say.
I would say take over modern society and shape it to a better society. Everything we complain about, another group that we disagreed with decided to take over the institutions and change them. Yeah, they weren't always the way they were. So if you want to change them, do the same thing they did.
But we've never been collectivists, madman. We've always been individualists.
So the difference is when we do it, it's going to be overnight instead of over 50 years.
That's the inherent fear, right? And this is why I'm saying, wean yourself off modern society. Because when it does happen, it'll happen quick and fast, and everything will be fucking different. Forget about restaurants. Forget about movies. Fucking learn to enjoy yourself. And you get to take that any way you want, you sickos out there.
But I would also say, if you're worried about your job, have a private Facebook and a public Facebook.
Madman, it doesn't matter anymore because you saw with the DC police, they had to hand over all their social media, even if it was private.
Y'all know me as Madman. And no one knows how many Facebook accounts I have. Yes, officer, I have given you all of my social media accounts.
Well, more accurately, treat Facebook like a resume, you know, and then use a fake name on Parler or, you know, some other social media site. Or, you know, just maintain 20 different accounts of fake individuals and have stories for them, you know?
Or go outside.
Well, you could just go outside.
Forget all about it.
But, you know, you could actually, you know, get some role-playing books, roll up some characters, and then make Facebook accounts for those characters, you know? And maintain them. That way they've got some age on them. So when you need to have one of these accounts suddenly say something inflammatory, you know, the account's 5 years old and it's been posting things that follow a theme so it doesn't look fake.
I kind of want to grab some of my vampire books and grab the pre-gen characters out of the back and give them Facebook accounts.
Let me know because I want to see the conversations that you have with yourself in this.
Oh, I'm going to have some very strange, seemingly political conversations. People are going to think I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians, when in fact, they're planning drug deals and murders.
So essentially,
it's fucking great.
So essentially, you're rolling up the Clintons. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying they're already rolled up. I'm just going to put them on the internet and then play act all the parts in this circle jerk.
So, Madman, I'm going to say get yourself a couple of old laptops and stick labels on them so you remember which one's which so you don't have to keep logging out and logging back in. Usually when people are arguing with their sock puppets, they get caught because they forget to log out of one and say the wrong thing.
Oh, the Malkavian one has to use TempoOS. This can get on Facebook, right? I'm going to have to do some research.
No, TempoOS doesn't connect to the internet, if I remember correctly. Although I haven't looked, they did start. There are new people maintaining it now because they wanted to keep it going. So they may have added a web browser. But it's going to be kind of a pain in the butt to use at the holy resolution of 640 by 480 at 16 color.
Don't worry. It's a Malkavian. He'll deal with it.
Everyone who's played that game is laughing their ass off. Everybody else is like, what the fuck? Next article. This one's from Extreme Tech. A group of researchers published a blog post at the International Monetary Fund's website in which they call for a significant shift in how credit scores are assessed. Instead of being based on traditional metrics, the group believes that banks should begin incorporating additional information, including your browser history. Where's the button?
Thank you.
They want your damn browser history for your credit score. Or social credit score, you might say.
And that's what they're wanting to change it into.
The rise of fintech services and cryptocurrencies have changed modern banking in a number of ways. The banks face increasing number of challenges as various third-party payment processors interpose themselves between the financial institutions and their traditional customers. The credit scoring systems used broadly in the U.S. and Europe are based on so-called hard information, bill payments, pay stubs, and how much of your current credit limit you're tapping. The researchers point out that so-called hard credit scores have two significant problems. First, banks tend to reduce credit availability during a downturn, which is when people need the most help. But credit availability isn't based on what they need. It's based on what their ability
to pay.
Yeah. You're misunderstanding. you are trying to apply something societal to something mathematical. That's not going to end well for you. Second, it can be difficult for companies and individuals without credit histories to begin creating one. There's a bit of a catch-22 in the system, in that what you need to persuade an institution to loan you money is a credit history that you don't have because no one will loan you money. I don't remember it being that crazy to get established.
Depends on how you were doing it and what your first attempt to get credit was. Mm. Your first attempt is to buy a car. That might be a bit of a problem. But if you're doing a prepaid credit card to build your credit and start earlier, not as much of an issue.
I think I did the credit card. You're right.
I built mine with the VCR. Where they pay it as you go things.
Okay,
yeah.
That's how I managed to get a car loan. It was reasonably easy for us back in the day. I don't know how it is today.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't have a credit history anymore because I haven't owed money for 20 years.
So having identified two flaws in the existing system, the author's right. I disagree with their flaws, but the rise of the internet permits the use of new types of non-financial customer data, such as browsing histories and online shopping behavior of individuals or customers, ratings for online vendors. Online shopping behavior. So if you go buy the right things on Amazon, your credit score goes up? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's already kind of factored in with, are you buying stuff and paying off your bill?
Yeah. The literature suggests that such non-financial data are valuable for financial decision-making. Berg et al. 2019 shows that easy to collect information such as the so-called digital footprint, email provider, mobile carrier, and operating system, performs as well as traditional credit scores in assessing borrower risk. Moreover, there are complementary. Well, yeah, they've got an extra bit stuck on the end of it there. Between financial and non-financial data, combining credit scores and digital footprint further improves loan default predictions. Accordingly, the incorporation of non-financial data can lead to significant efficiency gains in financial intermediation. In a blog post published on the IMF's website, the authors also write, recent research documents that once powered by artificial intelligence and machine learning, these alternative data sources are often superior than traditional credit assessment methods. So what? If you buy the wrong thing on Amazon, you're more likely to default? What the fuck?
Well, they've built an algorithm on the average defaulter then, okay.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to I was trying to read the rest of the article, trying to figure out what was going on, but they started having pictures of Deep Space Nine, and one of them was where they tried to upscale it, and it went horribly wrong. So I didn't read that far in the article when I first saved the link yesterday. I was like, what is this? Because they're talking about AI getting it wrong. But I don't know. I don't like this idea of using your web browser history for your credit score, because, like you said, that's the social credit. Oh, you go to one of those bad websites. You have bad ideas. You're guilty of wrong think. We're just gonna make it so you can't get a loan, or a car, or a house.
We see you sit on 4chan poll for 18 hours a day. How do you expect to pay this off?
If they're having an issue with the credit system, we can go back to manual underwriting. And that's already been tested for many, 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 many years. It's viable. It's sound. It gets away from the problem of never having purchased anything before, because I just look at debt-to-income ratio and do you have a job?
And it's expensive because somebody has to sit there and do it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to slow down the issuing of credit, which is what was why banks are opposed to it. But if you go back to manual underwriting, guess what you get to get rid of?
Credit scores.
And credit agencies, more importantly. So those nice companies that you don't choose to do business with,
yeah,
that
like
have
Moody's,
all of your personal information, and then may get popped, and you don't have any say about it, and can't really retaliate against them, they go away. So this will make fraud a bit more difficult, but it will cut into bank profit margins because fewer people at a time will be getting credit, and you will have to actively seek out credit rather than getting a pre-approved credit card in the mail. I'm fine with this.
I am too, man. Also, too, you have to build a personal relationship with your bank.
Oh, the upside of this, you can, but you don't have to, because it still just comes down to debt-to-income ratio.
Yeah.
So
now, they might find you more trustworthy if you have an account with them and talk to them, so I would suggest doing that.
Fuck my first personal loan for a car, I had to meet the bank manager.
So, yeah, I just...
No, I say do it. Do it.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want my political affiliation to have much to do with my car loan.
I don't plan on borrowing money ever again, so fuck it. It doesn't impact me.
Are these the same institutions that were trying to, you know, block porn sites and OnlyFans and all that? So, you know, do you want the same institutions now beginning to look at your credit, your browser history to determine your credit score? Oh, we see you've been going to OnlyFans. Yeah, nope, we're going to have to ding your credit score a little bit.
You're irresponsible with money. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a dead giveaway. Oh, you're a simp.
Just have a little checkbox in the form. Oh, simp. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Have you ever simped for an e-hole? You know, that's going to be one of the questions.
Has your name ever been written on the backside of a lady on the internet?
Oh, man, we don't discriminate here. Yeah. Have you ever purchased the bath water?
Oh, God.
I thought it was a good financial investment. It had resale value, damn it.
Approved.
How much of your personal financial assets would you say are held in Pokemon cards?
That varies depending on what Star City values them at the time. It's kind of like asking how much Trump is worth. His name is an asset, so you have to figure out on that. There's a lot of math and guessing involved.
I don't know how much money I have, but I know how many pounds of money I have.
So the better question is, what number do I need to fill into this box to get the loan? Because I think that might be how much Charizard's worth. It is a foil, after all.
I think asking that question of what number do I put in this box to get the loan might be on the red flags document. I'm not sure. I hate that I have to do those trainings when I have nothing to do. Anyways, are you guys ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's from news.samsung.com, so this is straight from Samsung. Samsung South Africa has announced the implementation of a television block function on all Samsung TV sets. The blocking system is intended to be implemented in respect of televisions that have been obtained by users through unlawful means and in some cases stolen from Samsung warehouses. TV Block is a remote security solution that detects if Samsung TV units have been unduly activated and ensures that the television sets can only be used by the rightful owners with a valid proof of purchase. The aim of the technology is to mitigate against the creation of secondary markets linked to the sale of illegal goods both in South Africa and beyond its borders. This technology is already preloaded on sale Samsung TV products. So basically, Samsung is saying they can just brick remotely, because during some of the issues that South Africa has been going on, they had a warehouse get raided and a whole bunch of TVs got stolen in South Africa. So they're now activating the previously unmentioned TV blocking system, which basically bricks the television remotely because it's, you know, listed as stolen. This
unplug it from the internet.
Yeah.
You will own nothing and like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
want to bet that they're going to use this for the secondhand market as well?
That's where I
was going. Hey, your TV is just recognize that this isn't the original fucking serial port or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I've had that
just
happen.
Shits itself.
Yeah. It wasn't with the TV. It was with a modem. I bought a modem from a friend of ours. After they no longer had cable internet with that same provider, they had to authorize the change to me.
Yeah, I'd say that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because it was stuck on their account.
Hey, you viewed some unregulated media yesterday. Your TV will be shutting down for 2 days. As punishment.
Nah, I bought it. I own it. You don't get to turn the shit off.
Well, it's not what Samsung's fucking saying.
I'm just going to not buy a Samsung.
Oh, they've all done it, Madman. You know that. It's not just Samsung.
So here's the bullet points. A TV blocking system has been activated on Samsung television sets stolen from our warehouse. The blocking will come into effect when a user of a stolen television connects to the internet in order to operate the television. And if you've not been paying attention, new TVs don't work until they're connected to the internet.
There's a trick.
There is a trick. You're right. There's a service menu you can get into. Well, it's different per TV. But
set it to hotel mode.
Yeah, most TVs, though, they'll say they must be connected to the internet at least once to register. Once connected, the serial number of the television is identified on the Samsung server and the blocking system is implemented, disabling all the television's functions. Should a customer's TV be incorrectly blocked, the functionality can be reinstated once proof of purchase and a valid TV license is shared to serve.manager@samsung.com, or they've got an online form.
The TV license comes in the case of South Africa because they went with the British model of you have to have a TV license.
Yep.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Got to have that listener's license.
Yep.
So, I just, I love that they haven't been advertising that they have this block functionality. Of course they do. Why else would they require you to connect the damn thing to the internet before you were allowed to do anything with it?
Well, how old is my TV now? Going on probably 8 years? So it's been implemented for at least 8 years.
Oh, mine still doesn't have one. I'm glad about that. Stick with Sanyo, my friends. They don't do this shit yet. I have to throw in yet because companies are evil or people are retarded.
I make a point of not buying a smart TV. The last TV I bought was not a smart TV, and it's not because they weren't available. It's because I didn't want one.
Oh, yeah, I'll stick devices on it to do the smart things. If I want to stream, here's a DVD player that does it, or a Roku or whatever. Or here's an old computer that I'm not doing anything else with.
Oh,
the TV's a fucking monitor these days.
Yeah, there's no connection to the internet on my TV. Everything goes through a Roku or, as you said, an old laptop.
It's amazing how well old laptops work for that too, isn't it?
Oh, they're fantastic for it, yeah.
It's like, what is that? It's like a i3 with 4 gigs of RAM. Yeah, it runs great. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Yeah, it just has to stream a movie. How long have computers been able to do that?
Yeah, it just sits there in, you know, idle mode until I want it. It's an old laptop. I don't care.
Well, Madman, you remember when we were rooming and you first saw the media box? Because you were like, what the hell is that? Because it looked like a giant, like, VCR. And it's like, that's a computer. It's like, what's that for? Watching movies? And you're like, what? That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know about Shoutcast TV, which is amazing and should come back.
So, anyways, there are some new versions of Shoutcast TV. What was the one I set up on my TV? Pluto. Have you seen that one, Madman? I set it up on an Amazon stick, Pluto.tv.
No, I'll check that out.
It's free. I haven't seen, I have no idea how they're monetizing it, because I assume they're collecting view data or something, but it's basically streaming live TV. I don't know if it's their own programs or what, but yeah, you might look into it. Where was I? Next story. This one's from mobilesyrup.com. Might impact Suave. We might want to give them a heads up on this one. PayPal to add $20 inactivity fee in Canada.
Oh. Inactivity fee?
Inactivity fee.
The fuck?
If you haven't logged, or if you haven't used PayPal at least once during the past year, it will soon cost you. The platform is quietly adding a $20 annual fee for inactive accounts in Canada. I'm guessing this is the only country that could get away with it.
Oh, they're testing it, see?
Yeah.
It's a large enough population that if they kick up a stink, they'll shut it down.
The change was spotted on PayPal's Canadian user agreement back on the 11th of August. Quote, we are introducing an annual account inactivity fee of $20 Canadian, unquote, that is effective as of November 20th, 2021, reads the fine print. We are revising PayPal's seller protection program to clarify eligible claims. We're requiring sellers to notify us. We're clarifying costs. We are introducing an annual account inactivity fee of $20 Canadian. Other than the user agreement update, there are no mentions of the change on PayPal's website. Of course not. You don't advertise that shit. The fee was also introduced in the UK back in December of 2020. The criteria is the same in Canada. Inactive accounts are those that haven't been used in 12 consecutive months. To avoid the fee, you'll need to log into your PayPal account or make a payment at least once per year. Additionally, PayPal will not charge debit and credit cards linked to your account and will only withdraw from accounts with a balance in their wallet. So what? You'll just have a negative 20 in your PayPal the next time you go to use it?
Make another account.
Yeah. I mean, that's shitty. I mean, that is a downright shitty thing to do.
Hey, build your own. That's what they'll say.
They're being a bit more of a dick than other companies in order to do that. Do you know most gift cards you buy have a similar policy? But it's not 1 year. It's usually 3 or 5 years.
Yeah, they don't expire.
They start doing a deduction.
Yeah. They do expire, but not that fast. So. Yeah. So just be aware. Next article up is from Nikkei Asia. I guess is how you'd say that. Or asia.nikkei.com. From Taipei. Contract chip-making giant Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co. That's TSMC, for anybody who hasn't figured it out, told clients on Wednesday that it plans to raise prices on products by as much as 20% in what would be the company's steepest single increase. The price increase and the timeframes for the hikes differ depending on the client. According to reports by Taiwan's Liberty Times newspaper and other media outlets, for some companies that received TSMC's notice, the hikes took effect immediately. TSMC and other Taiwanese semiconductor companies raised chip prices by more than 10% between last fall and this spring. But with strong demand continuing to outstrip supply, TSMC decided to sharply increase prices again. The increased costs tied to ramping up production are being passed downstream, with the company enjoying better bargaining power amid global chip crunch as well. The move will likely impact the sticker prices of end products. A TSMC spokesperson declined to comment to Nikkei about the higher chip prices. Concerns over lower profitability are another reason behind the price hikes. The company said it will make $100 billion in capital investments over 3 years through 2023. The commitment has fueled qualms about a potential decline in profits as TSMC prepares to boost its overseas expansion. It is still maintaining a high net profit margin of 36% during the quarter ended in June. At the same time, it will be very costly to manufacture in the U.S. and Japan, a member of TSMC executive team said. The company is building a cutting-edge semiconductor facility in the U.S. state of Arizona and is considering opening its first Japanese chip plant in Kumamoto. Major global clients such as Toyota have announced production cutbacks due to the shortage of semiconductors. TSMC has responded by boosting output, but the company foresees the impact lasting until next year. So this isn't really a surprise that with the shortage of chips that the chip makers are going to start raising their prices, right?
Yeah.
But what's going to be the surprise is probably how much of a price hike you're going to start seeing in shit from this. I mean, you think graphics card prices are silly now.
Yeah. Want to play, you go to pay.
I guess. So, the next one I have is from Euro News, and it's kind of a laughable story, but basically EU will make Bitcoin traceable and ban anonymous crypto wallets in an anti-money laundering drive. I don't know how.
Technically, isn't it already traceable? I mean, it's open source, and I can see everywhere it goes. The only thing is, my name isn't attached to my wallet. Am I misremembering the way this is supposed to work?
No. The Bitcoin ledger is completely public.
Yeah,
attribution, saying that that wallet is, in fact, Madman, and that one over there is, in fact, RU, and this is, in fact, them trading money over Madman's collection of Facebook sock puppets and, you know, driving the plot line. Now, that's the difficult part. So, cryptocurrency exchanges like Binance and Coinbase and Kraken could be forced to collect the details of people sending and receiving crypto under new rules proposed by the European Commission. The EU's executive branch announced the potential change on Tuesday as part of a package of reforms aimed at tackling financial crime within the bloc. Quote, the aim of the package is to improve the detection of suspicious transactions and activities, and to close loopholes used by criminals to launder illicit proceeds or finance terror activities through the financial system, the commissioner said in a statement. The proposed rules would require cryptocurrency exchanges to collect customers' identifying information, bringing them in line with the Know Your Customer rules already imposed on other financial institutions. The new law would also establish a new EU-wide anti-money laundering authority with oversight of cryptocurrencies by 2023.
And there it is. We want to create a new overarching department.
I'm just saying, the way Bitcoin works... Okay, yeah, Coinbase knows who I am because I bought my Bitcoin through Coinbase. Fine. However, my Bitcoin, as I often advocate in this show, is not stored in Coinbase or any other exchange. It's in a series of private wallets tied to a hardware token. The wallets don't exist in the cloud. They don't exist anywhere but on that hardware token. I recommend you keep your Bitcoin in a hardware token, then lock it up in a fake book on the shelf or whatever else you find amusing. And yes, I do. I lock up my hardware wallet in a fake book on the shelf because it amuses me. If I had a lot more Bitcoin, the hardware wallet would be in a bank security deposit box, but. Go ahead, Ori.
It's not just happening in Europe. There are 18 bills in the U.S. Congress tackling crypto this year.
So, the problem is...
no bills to break up the monopolies.
The problem is, okay, I buy crypto on one exchange under my real name. Fine. I then take it off into a series of private wallets. Maybe I create a fake identity on another website and set up a Bitcoin wallet donation, and then have the first identity, you know, donate to the sock puppet account for whatever reason people do that. You know, Patreon or whatever. Now my second account has that money through a legitimate means, all within Bitcoin. That second account can then go onto whatever exchange, change it into a different cryptocurrency, make another account, exchange it back somewhere else, and then I can withdraw the money as cash on another exchange, having gotten it through a perfectly legitimate means, you know, by setting up a donation box somewhere, right? Or whatever. So I don't see this as actually doing anything. I guess unless you just have two people dumb enough to move their money into Bitcoin for a single transaction and then pull it out, thinking that's going to, you know, be money laundering.
The European Union just want to create another gigantic bureaucracy. That's all it's about.
You're probably right. Madman, thoughts? You understand finance better than I do.
I'm just thinking if they require any institution that you could use to exchange it into the euro actually have know your customer regulations, then they might not know what you did in between exchange one and exchange two, but they would probably know you in exchange one and in exchange two.
Maybe, but you're assuming that if I've gotten the Bitcoin through illicit means that I would ever have identified myself in the first place and when acquiring it before moving it through sock puppets or, you know, incorporating it some other way.
I don't know if they're going to just use this for finding it illicitly. It might just be trying to tax people, but they would still know Borps got it on exchange A and then cashed out X amount on exchange B.
Well, they wouldn't care so much
about getting
it. They can
do basic math to see how much more you had.
They wouldn't care so much about how you got it. They'd care about the cashing it out, because if it's a tax thing, that's where they would want to tax it, is when you actually turned it back into, you know, fiat currency. So I assume it'd be euros, since it's, you know, we're talking about the EU, but I don't know. I'm not a practicing online criminal, so I don't actually know how all this would work, but I can suspect.
This could also be a pain on international uses of Bitcoin if they're going to try to force foreign banks to be in compliance with this.
I could see the EU doing that.
Because if you do business there and you're a bank, you're going to comply with it. I don't know how the cash reserves on most crypto exchanges are, but I'm fairly certain the larger ones are going to have some financial ties to a bank.
You would hope, right?
I'm just thinking that just for how much cash would they need. I could see you opening up a Bitcoin exchange with your own money and working it out. It's just, that's what a private bank does. But it would take a billionaire to do that. We're talking like Jeff Bezos-style billionaire to do that.
Yeah.
And then you're limiting at least your initial exchanges to how much you're willing to put into back that crypto bank, effectively. So it's going to be a slow grow market, unless you've got investors.
So, anyways, I just thought that was cute, but I think RU is right that they're just using that to mask what they're really doing, which is setting up another agency.
So, guess what evil group is fighting the Bitcoin bills in the U.S.?
I'm afraid to ask.
It's everyone's favorite largest hedge group in the world.
JP?
I think it's Blackwater. But yeah, they're fighting crypto bills.
That's interesting.
They've bought quite a bit in crypto. They're pretty much treating it like gold.
I gotcha.
So, they don't want it regulated right now. They're going to wait till they cash out.
Of course.
And then they're going to go with the not caring. Well, that's my opinion. I don't have any insider knowledge on this. I'm just assuming.
Don't buy stocks or crypto based on anything we say on this show, because I can't afford the lawyers to deal with it if you do.
Everybody knows the proper time to buy crypto is after at least 12 beers and 2 scotches.
Oh, God.
Same with registering addresses and URLs.
It worked out for us the first time. Go ahead, Madman, then we'll move on to Dojo.
I was just going to say, I wish I had bought Bitcoin when I first heard about it. I would have cashed out sooner than I should have, because I would have cashed out when it reached a few hundred. But still, I wish I bought it when I first heard about it.
Yeah, no, I wish I'd kept all... Remember, I had mining operation going behind the bookcase for a while. I wish I'd kept up with that.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, you could buy 4 Bitcoin for a penny. And I was like, this isn't going to go anywhere.
Well, I mean, I thought I tried to get some, and it's like, this all looks like a scam. I'm not dealing with it. Never mind.
I still think Bitcoin is going to end up being the tulip bubble. I just think the technology is awesome. I just don't know if anyone's going to adopt and use it.
Oh, I could see tons of things adopting and using it. It just may not be for a, coin system. It's just going to be a ledger. You want to do a distributed ledger among multiple parties, it's a fantastic way to do it. So,
yeah.
And I could also see it being used, the crypto coins being used for currency in video games, just because it'd be an interesting way of doing it. So,
I just want a central bank to adopt it, but none of them are going to, because that's going to solve my big problem with central banks, yeah, which is mainly that they exist.
All right. A couple of things for you, Titan Digital Dojo. They're all related to each other, though. The first one up, I found this Googling it around, working on some side projects. Neat little project here called Dospian. And what this is it's a Raspberry Pi distro that, when you turn it on, boots immediately into the DOSBox Extended Community Edition. So what you have effectively done is taken your Raspberry Pi, burned an SD card, and when you boot that SD card, you have the equivalent of a 486 running DOS on your desk. However, as silly as this sounds, it'll run all the DOS games and software. Maybe not as fast as you would like, because, 486, right? But, it'll run Windows 3.1. I think some people have gotten it working with 95 and 98. But, you want to play a bunch of classic DOS games, this is a way to do it. So, everything from around the 90s is pretty much what they're targeting. But, so you can take a Raspi, install this Dospian, and then use it to build up a DOS gaming system. So, if you're going to build up a DOS gaming system, you're going to need some DOS games. So for that, my next link in Dojo is this website called DOSHaven.eu. And this is a modern DOS gaming site where they are tracking people making modern DOS games, like stuff released this year. And some of it doesn't look that bad. So there are still people writing DOS games, still people writing, re-releasing it. So you can find new DOS games to play on here, which is kind of funny. But also another website here called WinWorld PC, they have a library of a bunch of different operating systems and software and games for retro systems. You got a bunch of different flavors of DOS and early Windows here, even some early Mac and OS 2 stuff. You go into the applications and games, you can find all kinds of Windows and DOS software that you can just download. And Yeah. So, you know, you want to build up your full retro system. These links will get you going with it. So, you know, just for fun. Yeah, there's SimCity. So the original DOS version of SimCity is on this website. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, Star Trek Armada could be playable again.
I don't know that that one's on here. I didn't look.
Oh, I've got a disc. I just need the software. No, I'd have to.
They got the original Fallout on here, so there's that one. No, I don't see Star Trek Armada on here. But if it's a DOS game, yeah, we could totally get it going on the Raspberry with that. If it's like a Windows 98 game, maybe. But anyways, I just found the idea interesting because I was looking up the idea of maybe putting together like a retro gaming build on a Raspberry. And there's this whole project around running DOS on the thing. And it's like, that's cool. And then from there, I just kept finding more stuff like these sites with the, you know, with all the software and you know, this DOS Haven site cracks me up because there's still stuff going on for DOS. And, you know, they've got a framework here for making 2D DOS games in Lua. There's QBasic, Turbo C, Pascal. So, yeah, if you want to get going with DOS as a platform, even a modern one, kind of, there you go.
Yeah, it's still in use, so I guess technically it would be a modern system.
I mean, you know, if it's on a Raspberry, you could just swap SD cards when you want to do something else with it. So actually, that wouldn't be a bad way to go. Just have a little, you know, DOS game SD card ready to go. So, are you just like, not? Why? Why are you talking about that?
No, I'm listening. Listening. I just, when I play old games, I pull out the old original Atari, dude.
There you go.
Thanks. I've collected all that shit. I've been collecting games for the last 30 years. So if I want to play it, I've generally got it. I don't need to do a whole lot of the modern trickery. Get it out. Get it going.
Well, if you do have any old DOS gaming machines, you know, you might be able to fill up some of the software here on and make use of it.
Yeah, see, I just collected consoles. I didn't collect all computers. So.
Yeah. So... anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Tech Hang every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit in the IRC tonight. Cyberlard, Psychros, Madman, and myself. Madman, closing thoughts.
Combat on Atari could be fun.
Yeah?
I mean, to play right now. I mean, it is a fun game.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
Speaking of games, I'm going to recommend Battle Brothers for you guys out there if you're bored. I would not recommend it if you are not heavily addicted to tabletop games and having your ass kicked all the time.
Oh, jeez.
It's really... You know when you first learned to play D&D as a group and you had if you had a decent DM, he'd like, okay, not everyone died just then, but don't fuck up like that again. You know what I mean? It punishes you for fucking up. It just feels good. It's fun. It's got a good storyline. It doesn't require a ton of hardware to run it. And I would say it's reasonably priced, but try and pick it up on a sale. Yeah, only for the hardcore tabletop gamers who really like getting their asses kicked for bad decisions.
Don't roll to walk into town ever again.
Look, if you've ever played Mountain Blade, you really enjoyed that. It's just a 2D version of that with tabletop rules. It's turn-based, so you can walk away and do something else while you're playing the game. It's fun.
Cool. With that, I think...
enjoy your weekend, people.
I think it's time for sound effects.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sounds good. Nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.